We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Ora Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Netilas Yadayim Shachris, Halacha Dalet, from the beginning. Every Shir is historic, but this Shir is historic in that we're beginning after Rosh Hashanah, Tufshin Ayin Beis. Just returned from Uman from a spectacular Rosh Hashanah, and hope that Hashem and the Tzaddik gave us new Moichin, new brains, new everything new, all new parts, replaced all the old parts with new parts, so that hopefully the learning will be better than ever. Those who weren't zecher to physically be there were all included. Everyone that went, you saw it written all over their faces, a tremendous Ahavas Yisrael, and everybody had in mind that they're not there just for themselves, they're there representing Klal Yisrael. And of course, those who were in Eretz Yisrael, everyone who went to shul, everyone who did what they could to connect with Rosh Hashanah, is connected, Baruch Hashem. Halacha Dalid, Al Pi HaTorah Vayomer Boaz El Rus, this halacha is going to be based on chapter 65 in the first half of Likut Imran. Ayin Shom Kol HaTorah Hetev. Rav Nosson Zal says, study that entire chapter in Likut Imran well, so that you'll have a good foundation and a good basis to really understand the halacha properly. However, if you don't have the chance, etc., Rav Nosson Zal, as always, gives you a brief overview, a summary of what's in that chapter in the Likut Imran to get us into the topic. V'haklal, basically, what Rabbeinu Zal speaks about over there is Shehodom tzorich tomid lehistakel ala tachlis. That a Jew always has to look at the ultimate future. Tachlis means the end. Look at the end. Shehu kuloi toiv, kuloi echod. The end, we're told, is going to be all good, all oneness. We have the famous pasuk, Bayom hahu, yihye Hashem echod u'shemo echod. That on that day, in the future, at the end means the end of this physical, materialistic world, when Moshiach will come, and after Moshiach will come, then Hashem will be Echod Ushmo Echod. And the Gemara gives us a little bit of an idea that this refers to the fact that nowadays, in the world as we're living it, there are good happenings and bad happenings. Meaning things that we interpret as bad happenings. Lo aleinu, a person, a close relative passes away, chas v'shalom, or illness, or all kinds of tragedies that we refer to as bad happenings. And the Gemara says nowadays, when something good happens, we make a bracha hatoy v'hametiv, something especially good, and when something terrible happens, we make a bracha dayan emes. But in the future, bayom ahu, it's going to be all one. Number one, all one. And in addition, we know that, for example, in Birchas Hamozon, we say, Horachmon hu yanchileinu yom shekuloi toiv. May Hashem bring us to the day when it'll be all good. So we know that this one is referring to a goodness. The bad will be eliminated completely. Sheshom mizbatlin kol hayisurim v'chol hatzoros sheboilam. In that place, in the future, in Olam Haba, there, all suffering and all pain of the physical, materialistic world is non-existent. Ki hakol letoiva, because there, one realizes and knows that everything is for the good. There's a lot to say about this. We'll say a little bit. I remember when I first came to Breslov, one of the stories that I heard from one of the tzaddikim in Breslov, Rabbi Yechaim Rosen, Zichron Levracha, he mentioned the story about one of the great tzaddikim who had a student who had a student. And this great tzaddik was about to pass away, and the people were going through tremendous suffering in the world at the time. And the student asked his rabbi, please, at the first opportunity, come back to me and let me know, like, what are they saying up there about what we're going through down here, the horrific tragedies and suffering and everything. It took a while. It took much longer than the student expected, but the rabbi finally appeared to him in a dream. And the first question he asked him was, "Why? How come it took so long?" And he said, "You don't know. You don't know the things that go on up here. You don't know that there's all kinds of processes and procedures a person has to go through before they're settled in up here. Number one." And then the student said, "Rebbe, you know, what about what we spoke of, all the terrible suffering?" So he said, "I'll be very honest with you. Up here, you don't see it. Up here, everything looks great. And as when we're looking down at the world, everything looks great. Everything looks perfect." Meaning, from their perspective up there, where they understand completely why everything is going, and they understand how everything, all the difficulties and suffering that the Jewish people are going through are really for our good, he said, for us up here, it's very hard to see any problem or to see anything as negative. And this is one of the reasons why we're told it's important for Jews to visit Kivrei Tzadikim, to scream, to complain in a sense, to tell them the difficulties, the struggles that we're having, because if we don't, from their perspective up there, it's possible for everything to look great. Everything looks good, all the suffering and everything, from their perspective, because Rabbeinu Zal says we had this not that long ago. Rabbeinu Zal mentions in a chapter in the Likutei Moharan that all the suffering that the Jewish people go through in this world is from lack of das. It's all because the Gemara says, "Im das koniso, ma chosarto." If you have das, what are you lacking? You're not lacking in anything. You're not lacking in health. You're not lacking in parnosa. Because if a person has real das, they know. They know exactly why they have what they have and why they don't have what they don't have, and the person doesn't feel any problem. The main basis for the problem is, the problem in the suffering is the lack of das. The definition of golos is lack of das. There's a pasuk, Lochein golo ami mibli das. Therefore, my nation has been exiled from lack of das. So therefore, upstairs where there's shleimus hadas, there's no golos, there's no suffering, there's no pain, there's no lacking in a sense. That's one example of how we can understand what Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Moharan. Number two, in addition, we're told that in Olam Haba itself, or at that future date, all suffering will be eliminated. There will be no Yetzer Hara at that time like we know it today. There will be no pain and illness. So again, he's telling us that this place, this future, which is all good, a Jew today living in this world has to strive to look there, to be looking there. Just like a Jew who starts a new week, Sunday or Monday, and they go to work and the person says, "Oh yeah, now I have another 6 days or 5 days of this dredge, of this yich." And then the person says, hold on a second. I just remember. A few minutes ago I said, "Hayom yom rishon b'Shabbos." Or Hayom Yom Sheni Bashabbos. I was reminded that we're moving towards Shabbos. Shabbos is on the way, and Shabbos is going to be fantastic. It's going to be the greatest experience of my life. And in looking at Shabbos and thinking about Shabbos, Shabbos is called the Tachlis also. We say on Friday night, Ato Kiddushes Yom HaShvi'i, Tachlis Ma'aseh Shamayim V'Oretz. So when a person looks at Shabbos, Shabbos is all good. And looking at that and connecting to that can alleviate a major part of the pain, suffering, and difficulty that other people go through during the 6 days of the week. So these are examples of what Rabbeinu Zal says over there, She'etzorecho ha'odom tzorech tamid l'stakel al ha'tachlis, which is kuloi toiv, kuloi echod. On Shabbos, at the climax of Shabbos at Mincha, we say, Ato Echod, V'shimcho Echod, you are one and your name is one. Because Shabbos is a taste of the future, when it's going to be all one, all goodness, no suffering. Ki hakol, ach, however, yev shir lehistakel ala tachlis hazeh, ki im bistimu da'ainen mechezo de'ayalma legamri. It is impossible for a Jew to really look at, and see that tachlis, that future, that olam haba, that Shabbos, unless the person is able to close their eyes from the materialism, from what olam hazeh, from what this physical world, the materialistic world, is all about. And Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likut Va'al Kein, and therefore, now you see that v'chulu there, which means Rabbi Nosson Zal is just giving you a one-liner. Over there in Likut Imran, there's whole paragraphs explaining that. And Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, V'al Kein mutba benefesh ha'odom, and this is why Hashem has put it into the nature of a human being, kishiyesh lo yisurim gedoylem chas v'shom, that when a human being is experiencing major suffering or major pain, who soisem v'oitzem eno b'chazoka mo'i, the person clenches their eyes shut tightly. When a person is sitting in the dentist chair and it's hurting, going through 30 minutes of pain, and then the dentist says, okay, this was all introduction, this was nothing. What I'm about to do is going to hurt. So brace yourself for it. It's going to take 15 seconds or so. He takes out that drill, the real thing, and he says, I have to do this, and just bear with me, hold on. A person hears that, most people naturally will close their eyes tight, not just close their eyes, but clench their eyes tight, very tightly, kedei levroyach el atachlis, in order to escape the physical world and take an elevator upstairs to the Tachlis, to Olam Haba, to Shabbos. What do we mean? Rabbeinu Zal explains it there very simply. Just like in the physical world, a person can normally, on a clear day, let's say a person can see out into the ocean a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles out into the ocean. If a person sees a ship that's 4 miles out there or 5 miles out there, and they want to try to get a look at it, what do? They squint. By narrowing the opening of the eye, you give the eye the ability to look further than it can when the eye is open, its full natural open state. Rabbeinu Zal says that the more you close the opening of the eye, the more you give it the ability, the vision is being less dispersed, more focused, like a laser beam going out, it can reach out further. So Rabbeinu Zal says there, if you want to really see, if you want to see out of this world, if you want to be able to take a look into the next world, into Olam Haba, into the Tachlis, you need to not just squint, you need to close your eyes completely, and not just close them, but clench them tight, so that you're keeping out, you're making a clear statement that you want to lock out the whole physical, materialistic world. By doing that, you go past the physical world, you're looking into the next world, where there is no pain, where there is no suffering. And that helps to alleviate, when a person is going through a terrible, difficult problem, that helps to alleviate some of the pain, some of the suffering the person is going through. Ayin Shom Kol Zeh Heitev. Look over there in Likut Imran, chapter 65, where Rabbeinu Zal explains all of this very, very clearly. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues to say, ach, however, achar kach, Rabbeinu Zal says there, that a Jew can do this regularly. This is part of what a person is supposed to be doing when they have hispoidetus. When a person is spending that personal time alone with Hashem, if you want to really be with Hashem, if you want to unplug yourself from the physical world, from all the distractions around you, and you want to go upstairs, you want to get into a rocket ship and get out of this world and go upstairs and plug into Hashem like from the next world, one of the ways that you do that is by closing your eyes tightly, tightly. That closing your eyes is keeping out. It's keeping out the physical, materialistic world. It's looking past that into the spiritual realm, into the spiritual world, where it's kuloi toiv, kuloi echod. And this, Rabbeinu Zal refers to that as bitul. Bitul means nullification. where a person nullifies his physical being just about completely. He lets go completely of the physical world, the materialistic world, in order to propel himself beyond that, past that, into a place of spirituality, a tremendous high level of spirituality. That's called bitul, where a person, bitul means nullifying the whole physical existence. And in fact, we find this in Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, when it describes how an observant Jew is supposed to daven Shmon Esrei. It says, okay, hey guys, listen carefully now. This is where we get serious. This is where we drop the physical world totally. And he tells you that the Hasidim, the Tzaddikim of the past, when they went into this phase of Tefillah, they had Hispashtus Hagashmius. That's what the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch call it. Meaning, they strip themselves of the physical, totally. Unplug the body, totally. And it's just the neshama now, moving forward, leaving the body behind, going forward as a soul into the throne room of Hashem to make the kind of connection that you want to make for that Shmon Esrei, which is the highest part of the tefillah. That's one of the reasons why we take the three steps back. When we're about to start the Shmon Esrei, we take three steps back, implying that we're leaving the physical world, and we take the three steps forward right before the Shmon Esrei, we're stepping into the throne room of Hashem, a place of incredible high spirituality. And it's brought that the tzaddikim, when they did this, they were totally disengaged. They didn't feel or hear what was going on. There's a story with one of Rabbi Nachman's Talmidim, Rab Naftoli Zal, who was once in a house, and there was a fire that broke out. And he was davening at the time. He was davening Shmon Esrei. And fire, you could imagine, people start screaming fire and running here and there, right back and forth. He was dveikus in his Shmon Esrei. He didn't know anything that was going on. At one point, they had to pick him up and take him out of the house because he was locked in. He was disconnected. He wasn't there. And he wasn't interested in coming back until he was finished, period. And again, this applies to each and every one of us on our level. Each one on their level, Rabbi Nizal speaks about this concept of limiting your look into that. If a person wants to be able to go into the spiritual realm, you have to be able to close your eyes. This is a famous expression. Stimu dainen mechezu dahayalma. To close your eyes from the look of this physical world. All the advertising, the whole thing of this world that tries to grab a person and pull them away from spirituality. Now, Rabbi Nizal says there, however, you can't do. Person would say, person goes up there and says, "Hey, it's beautiful up here. I'm staying." Rabbi Nizal says there, can't do that. As long as you're physically living, you must come back down. You must return. Ach acharkach kisheshov mehabitul. However, afterwards, when the person comes back down from this bitul, choizrin umizgabrim haisurim. The pain and the suffering and the problems come back even stronger than they were before he went on this trip. Why? Like two people who are engaged in strong combat, fighting. When one of them sees that the other one's starting to win, he takes all of his energy, you know, and throws everything in it to make a last-ditch effort to try to turn the tables. When he sees that the other guy's winning, you know, making a major move to win, the one who's on bottom tries to throw everything he has into it to turn things over. And so too with the Yetzirah. When the Yetzirah sees that a Jew said goodbye to him and the Jew took off in his spaceship and went up to this place of super spirituality and everything, the Yetzirah says, okay, no problem. I know what goes up must come down. I know he's coming back, and I'm waiting here, and I'm ready for him. When he comes back, it's going to be much, much more than before. So Rabbi Nizal says, how do you deal with that? Ach achar kach mekarin umevatlin hayisurim al yedei ha-toyro sheshoyavim al yedei hayisurim al yedei shenizbatil al ha-tachlis. Rabbi Nizal says, when a person makes that trip up, they don't come down empty-handed. They come down with Torah, with a hashpo of Torah. And that Torah remains with the person when they come down, and that helps them. That Torah that was the result of suffering, the Gemara says that the person doesn't really acquire Torah until he kills himself. This is killing oneself. This is leaving the body in a sense. So he receives a portion of Torah from a very high level that he brings down with him, and that helps him to cool off the fire of the suffering, of all the different aspects of suffering that he's going through. And this enables the person to have whatever remain from that spiritual experience. We compare it many times to when you have oil in a bottle. When you empty out the oil, there's still a film of oil that stays inside the bottle. So too, we're taught that whenever a Jew has a spiritual high, when he comes back down and it seems to him as if he's lost it totally, he has not. There is always what's called the reshimu. The reshimu is the imprint that remains, that film of oil that remains clinging to the bottle, that stays with the person. And that shines into the person's consciousness, into the person's moichin, umekabel Torah, and the person receives a new shefa of Torah, a new flow of Torah, alidei hasimcha, through joy and happiness, shehu kli lekabolas haTorah. Simcha is a vessel that enables a Jew to receive this new flow of Torah. And Rabbeinu Zal over there in the Kutumran shows this from Psukim. He shows about Matan Torah and Kabbalas HaTorah, the Simcha that was there, that's the keli through which a person receives the new flow of Torah. There's a pasuk, V'simchas Olam. It says, the Gemara says that when the Jews received the Torah on Har Sinai, and they said Nasev and Ishma, two angels came down, an angel for Nasa, an angel for Nishma, and crowned each and every one of the Jews, placed the crown on their heads. And the Gemara says, this is what's referred to in the pasuk, V'simchas Olam al Roisham, an eternal joy upon their heads, on their heads. This crown is referred to as a simcha. Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran shows this more elaborately. And this is what helps to extinguish the fire, the fiery thirst that the soul has. Shehu bechinas yisurim, which is also a form of suffering, pain. When a person is thirsty, burning up with thirst, they need water to quench their thirst. The bechinas, as the pasuk says, hoy kol tzomei lechul amayim. All of you who are thirsty, go to the water, drink from the waters. Ayin shom kol ze bayer hetev. Look over there in the Kutumran. What we said here in one paragraph, over there is about three pages. So you need to know he gave us a very, very, very short, quick glimpse of what Rabbeinu Zal explains over there. And then Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say, V'oz. And after a person knows all of this, and after a person goes through this whole process, yecholin lehispalel koroi, then that person will be able to pray properly. And one of the highlights of praying properly is velasois echod mikol hatfila, to make one out of his entire tefila. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that when a person is davening, if a person is davening properly, where his soul is in it, and he's unplugged himself from all the distractions, it's one of the most incredible highs that a person can have in life. To be spiritually, to be dovuk Hashem, to be connecting to Hashem. So a person says, Moide. Person says, Moide ani lefonecha. He says the moi, and he's enjoying that moi so much, he doesn't want to let go. He doesn't want to stop. I don't want to go to there. The moy is a I connected to Hashem now, you know, with what this moy is a wire that's connecting me directly to Hashem. But Rabbeinu Zal says you can't do that. You have to go further. And he compares it to a person who walks into a garden, a garden that has the most unbelievable flowers you ever saw before. And the person walks in and he sees a flower And he's blown away by it. He's blown away by its beauty, and he picks up this flower and he's holding it, and like he won't let go of it for $1 billion, for all the money in the world. And he feels he wants to just hold on to this for the rest of his life. And then he looks for a second and he sees another one that's just as beautiful as this one, maybe even nicer. It's different. And he says, whoa, even though that I want the other one also. And he takes the second one and puts it together. And from this, he makes an incredible bouquet, you know, of flowers for Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says, this is a Jew davening properly. When a Jew is really davening the way a Jew is supposed to daven, every syllable is an unbelievable flower. It's a wire, an independent wire connecting me to Hashem, giving me spiritual energy, giving me life and everything. And when I go on to the next syllable, the next letter, so now Rabbeinu Zal says, but now when you move on to the second one, like small children, you give them one toy, then you give them another toy, they drop the first toy, some of them. Usually not. Usually most kids, if he liked that first toy, he ain't going to drop it. He's going to grab the second one. And if you give him a third one, he's going to be holding one. He ain't letting go of any of those toys. Lahavdil here also, when it comes to these flowers, one gorgeous one, I get the second one, it looks even just as nice, but I'm not throwing away the first one. I don't want to let go of the first one. Rabbeinu Zal says so too in Tefillah. A Jew has to see to it that as he moves on to the tefillah, never, as he moves on to the ruch of baruch, he gets to the ruch, he's not letting go of the ba, of the baruch. He's holding on to it. He doesn't want to let go of that incredible spiritual acquisition that he acquired when he said that baruch, blessed are you Hashem, you know. And Rabbeinu Zal says so too when he moves on to the next word, the word atah. He doesn't want to let go of the baruch. He's holding on to it. And Rabbeinu Zal says, this is a concept of making one from your entire tefillah. And the true tzaddikim, and as we said, the whole tefillah becomes a bouquet, this gorgeous, like an orchestra. You pick your, we know what it is when a clarinet plays, and then you have a clarinet play a note, and then another musical instrument. But when the clarinet plays, and as the clarinet goes, the second instrument blends right into it, and the third one overlays that one. One is leading to the other one, and the first one isn't stopping to play. You picture the level of beauty of that music or those flowers. Rabbeinu Zal defines that that's what real tefillah is supposed to be. Real tefillah, one of the highlights of tefillah is when the person can make one from the entire tefillah. So most of us are lucky if we're able to have our head attached just to the word we're saying now. That's a big, big accomplishment. But Rabbeinu Zal's teaching us that there are different levels, obviously, and there's a level that even though you're concentrating beautifully on the word you're saying now or the sentence you're saying now, you have not let go. You're still holding on tightly to the previous paragraph, to the previous sentence that you said. In order to make one gorgeous bouquet out of your whole tefillah, out of your entire shachris or your entire mincha. Again, look in Likutei Moran there for the full explanation. And there's about 6 or 7 chapters of Likutei Halachos, such as this one, where Rav Nosson Zal is going to expound on this and clarify it and bring it down to us in all kinds of different ways to show us how this applies in our Yiddishkeit. Paragraph Beis. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins his discussion on Atilas Yadayim, which is going to be based on that chapter on Likutei Moran. V'zeh b'chinas netilas yadayim shachris. Everything Rabbeinu Zal speaks about there on Likutei Moran is tied into the mitzvah of washing your hands in the morning when you wake up in the morning. Ki hashena hu b'chinas bitul el hatachlis b'stimu dainim. Because sleep is an example of bitul, where the person closes their eyes, lets go of the physical world, and transcends it, goes to a different place. Umishom shoyrish hashena. And that's actually the source. You know, sleep is a physical experience. This physical experience called sleep, which allows the body to regenerate itself and get new energy and new moich and new everything, is tied into a spiritual experience called bitul. Kemuva b'hatoyra v'ahim ikeitz zikoron simen nun dalet. As Rabbi Nizal explains in chapter 54 in Likutei Moharan, Shebishas Shena Mizdapkin Bi'almadosi, that while a Jew is sleeping, he connects to the future world. Shehu Bechinas Bitul, and that's a form of Bitul, where he nullified, he let go of the physical world and went up to that other place. We know we make a bracha in the morning. Hamachzir neshamos levgorim mesim. Hashem who returns souls to corpses, implying that when a person goes to sleep at night, their soul leaves them. It goes upstairs. Upstairs means it goes to a place of judgment, to the Bezin Shamala, and upstairs also means this beetle going to a much higher spiritual place. That's under this umbrella term of Olam Haba, the future world. V'chein b'hatorah kimrach miminagim simen zayim. And Rabbi Nizal also mentions this related to physical sleep in another chapter in the Likutei Moharan, in the second half of Likutei Moharan, chapter 7, Al Maimar Azal, where Rabbi Nizal expounds on a Gemara, a story in the Gemara, where the Gemara speaks about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, who were traveling together on a ship. And Vahoyo Rabbi Eliezer, Yoshon, the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer was sleeping and Rabbi Yehoshua was awake. At Muvan Shom, Rabbi Nizal explains over there, Gamkein, also, Shesheno hu bechinas bitul, that sleep represents a higher level than being awake in that context. Sleep represents bitul, a person who nullified the whole physical aspect of himself, and he went upstairs, bechinas, Ayin loy roasa elokim zulasecha. There's a pasuk in Navi where it says, it describes paradise, it describes Gan Eden, and it describes it as a place which no eye has ever seen the likes of it. Yase lamachak eloy. And that's what Hashem is going to do for those who wait for it. Those who wait patiently to receive their reward in the spiritual world. They're not looking for pleasure, joy, and fun in the physical world. Those who wait for pleasure, joy in the spiritual world, Hashem will give them, will show them this place which ayin lo ra'asa, which no eye has ever seen. Eye not seeing is closed eye. The eye is closed. You follow the connection? Rabbi Nizal shows over there that the first letters of that pasuk, ayin lo ra'asa lekim zulasecha, spell the name Eliezer. And that's why Rebbe Eliezer HaGodol represents that high, that spiritual level, the sleep, the bitul, the olam haba. That's what he represents in the context of that story. Ki ikar hash ayin sham. Look over there in Torah Zayin and Likutei Moharan Tanina. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, ki ikar hashenu shashim yisborach mapil al ha'odom hu b'shvil b'china sanal ha'mavur ba'teranal. Because the main reason why Hashem makes people go to sleep is for what Rabbi Nachman describes in Torah Samachay and Likutei Moharan. Dehainu kedei livroyach b'chol pam mehadinim v'yisurim. In order to be able to escape the problems and the suffering and the struggles and the difficulty that the person's going through. Shekulam mimshochim mebechinas bilbul hadas. And as we learned previously, one or two halachas back, the source of all suffering and problems in this world is bilbul hadas, confusion. Because again, the Gemara says, im das kaniso machasarto. If your das is perfect, what are you lacking? When a person has shleimus hadas, they are not lacking anything. You have the famous story of the Rebbe Reb Zusha, where there was somebody who once came to the Baal Shem Tov, and the person was describing how much he's suffering and he doesn't know how to deal with it and everything. So he told him, I know somebody that can heal you. There's a doctor, a special doctor in this town of Anapoli. Go ask for Dr. Zusha and he'll be able to cure you. Guy goes traveling to Anapoli and he comes there and he asks, I want to see the doctor. Doctor, which doctor? Dr. Zusha. Dr. Zusha, no doctor. There's a Reb Zusha, there's no doctor. Is there any doctor? No, the Reb Zusha, everybody, go see, okay. Maybe the Baal Shem Tov gave him his doctorate. Maybe, So he comes and he sees something like he's never seen before in his life. A shack, a rickety place where somebody's living. that makes what he's living in look like a palace. And he comes and he says, "Are you Dr. Zusha?" He says, "No, my name is Zusha. I'm not a doctor. I'm almost finished medical school, but I didn't graduate just yet." And he says, "I was sent by the Baal Shem Tov because I was telling the Baal Shem Tov about problem, all the different variety of problems and suffering I have. And he told me to come to see you because you would know how to address all my problems." He says, I don't know. There must be some kind of mistake because I don't know anything about problems. I don't know what a problem is. I don't know what could possibly be a problem. You're alive. There's Torah to learn. There's mitzvahs to do. What could be a problem?" And I'm giving the story, I'm presenting it a certain way, that the basic gist of it was that this person saw Reb Zusha, the conditions, the physical conditions that this Reb Zusha was living in, and he saw that the Reb Zusha was a person who was totally sad, totally happy, fulfilled, not lacking in anything. Why? Because he had Shleimus Hadas. He was connected to Hashem totally on all fronts. He knew that everything is perfect, everything is great. So Rav Nosson Zal says here that, as we mentioned earlier, that all the suffering, everything is going through, is based on Bilbul Adas. Umach ma'ashodom bo lezoylam rak b'shvil ha'melchoma. And because of the fact that a person, a human being, comes to this world only for one reason, for battle, for war. Lilchoim milchemes Hashem im hatayvois v'abelbulim, to wage the battle for Hashem, going up against all the physical and materialistic desires of this world and all the confusion of this world. Uledabek machshavtoi b'Hashem yisborach tomid, and to try to rise above all of that and to try to be plugged into Hashem all the time. Even when one of his kids saying, "There's no milk in the fridge, what should we do?" And it hurts to hear that. He wants the kid to have milk for his cereal. There's no milk there and he doesn't have money. What to do? But this person is dovok tashem at all times. He's totally attached and nothing hurts. Nothing hurts. Nothing's bad. There's no such thing as bad in his life because he's connected to that other place. He's connected where it's all good. He sees what's going on. He tries to do what he can to help the children, to help his wife and everything. But in terms of what he's experiencing, he's experiencing what a person experiences when they're totally connected to Hashem. So because a person is going through this battle day and night, and when you're going through battle, you get tired. As a result of this battle, the person's brain and soul become tired and weak. B'chol pam, all the time. And therefore, as Hashem has placed it within the nature of human beings, that when it's accumulating, when the cumulative effect of all the battles that the person's been going through from 5 o'clock in the morning till 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, when all of that has reached a peak and the person's really tired, sheyipol olav sheina, a sleep comes upon the person, shehu stimus ha'inayim, which involves closing of the eyes, ubitul hamoichen, and the brain shutting down, letting go, not thinking about any problems, not letting go of the whole day. Hainu sheyistoy meino, that the person closes their eyes, v'yivatel moichoy v'daitoy legamri, and shuts down the brain totally. They close the brain completely. Shezeo b'chinas bitul anal. This is the bitul that Rabbeinu Zal mentions over there in Likut Imran. Hainu bitul el hatachlis hatoiv. When you let go of the physical world, you're automatically, if you're Jewish, if you said Kriya Shema Lamita, if you believe in Hashem, when you let go of this, the neshama is able to go upstairs. It's able to go to that bitul, to the tachlis toiv. Vishom mizbatlin kol habilbulim. And over there, all the bilbulim become nullified. Shehim bechinas klal kol adinim vahatzorois vayisurim vamanis. When we use the word bilbulim here now, it includes all the judgments, pain, suffering, and obstacles that the person is experiencing in their life. Ki kulam mizbatlin al yedei habitul al atachlis kanal. because all of them become nullified when a Jew is zochah to be mevatel himself to that place, to that future place. Tied into the story I told before about the beetle, about the rabbi and the student, about the rabbi and the student, where he told him about what it looks like upstairs. I believe he mentioned him that he came to a certain place in heaven where he saw a pasuk. He saw over the door like a pasuk, like you see sometimes on the Aron Kodesh in a shul, they put a pasuk. The pasuk was, Diminu Elokim, Chazdecha Bekerev Hecholecha. This is a pasuk that we recite on Monday in the Yom Shel Shabbos, the Yom Sheni Shel Shabbos, Diminu Elokim. We thought it was Elokim. We thought it was judgment. It was harshness. Chazdecha bekerev heicholecha. But up here in the throne room of Hashem, up here in paradise, we see it all as chesed. We see it all as beautiful. That's another example of what we're emphasizing here, that the physical world that we're in is a place of good and bad. And the bad comes in 36 flavors. There's every kind of assortment of bad, taxes and health and physical problems and all, every kind of problem imaginable. Up there, it's Atu Echad, it's oneness. It's oneness, it's Kulay Toiv, Kulay Echad. Umishom nitba Hashenu al kol adam val kol abrum. And it's from this place that Hashem has placed it into the nature of all human beings and all creations, even animals, to go to sleep, to have this experience of that when a person is tired, exhausted, they fall asleep or they go to sleep. V'alkein be'emes mi shezoiche yochoy lahasig b'shas sheno dvorim gevoyim oid. And that's why the truth is, the fact is, a person who's on a high level, a very, very high spiritual level, can, during sleep, experience very, very high level connection to Hashem, achieving very high level understanding of Hashem. Machma she'oz hu bechinas bitul el oir ho'ein soif yisparashmoy. Because it's during sleep that the soul has the ability to experience becoming nullified, becoming one with Hashem's infinite light. Vaydezeh masik mashe masik. And as a result of that, the soul achieves what it achieves. It achieves incredible high-level understanding of Hashem. Kemuva b'Zohar HaKodesh, as the Zohar HaKodesh speaks about this, in Parshas Vayakel, Daf Kuf Tzadikei, al posuk mi yale bahar Hashem. The Zohar HaKodesh there says that that posuk, mi yale bahar Hashem, who will climb the mountain of Hashem, is referring to a Jew. The Tzadikim, when they go to sleep, that's when they climb this mountain. And they achieve incredible new heights, you know, of understanding of Hashem that they couldn't achieve even while they were awake. There's a famous story that's written in the Shvachi Arizal, about the Arizal, that one of his famous Talmidim, Rabbi Avram Halevi, Rabbi Avram Bruchim, once walked in on him on Shabbos afternoon when he was resting, when the Arizal was resting. And he saw him sleeping, his eyes closed, and he saw his lips moving. So he bent down like to try to hear what he was saying, and the Arizal woke up. And the Arizal looked at him, and you know, he said, you know, Rebbe, you were sleeping, you know, but I saw you weren't sleeping, I saw you were busy. Can you please share with me a little of what you were doing? So the Arizal said to him, to explain to you the secrets that I just learned about Balak and Bilam would take me 80 years. It would take me 80 years to explain to you, this is the exact wording they use, to explain to you what I just learned now about. So we see that there are tzaddikim on that level, that when they go to sleep, it's written in the writings of the Arizal, that the Arizal, when he would go to sleep, he had different tickets. Amazing, it reminds me of Uman. That in Uman, they had places that you could go to this place to eat or this place to eat, and each place you had to buy tickets before, you had to have a ticket and show your ticket, otherwise they wouldn't let you in to show that you're a member, you're a paying member of this fund. The Arizal said that like they gave him a whole bag of these tickets, and he had an open invitation to all the different yeshivas in heaven. And he writes, the yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva, he describes what he learned in the different yeshivas, what the different learning is like in this yeshiva, what's different in this yeshiva. He writes that even women, the tzidkoniyos, there's a special yeshiva of Basya Bas Paro, the daughter of Paro. She has a special place, and she gets an audience with Moshe Rabbeinu at certain times. He describes, I'm saying, imagine what we're talking about, what kind of levels we're talking about. So this is what the Zohar, this is this beetle to the Ein Sof that the great tzaddikim experience when they let go totally of this physical world. Once again, as always, and this applies, Rav Nosson Zal says, that everything Rabbeinu Zal speaks about on Likud Imran applies to every single one of us on our level, to each and every Jew. We're not talking about these great tzaddikim here, that there were these great people fit, and it's got nothing to do with me. If that's where it were, we wouldn't be learning about it. We're learning about it to know that each and every one of us has the potential, has the ability to access this on our level. And therefore, when a person gets up from sleep, we have to wash our hands with water. Why? Because when a person is waking up from sleep, that's like what Rabbeinu Zal said in the Likutei Moharan, the person coming back down from the beetle. Vazai roitzim hadinim shehem habilbulim shemehem kol hatumois heim roitzim lizgaber yoiser v'yoiser. When the person's coming back down, the Eitz Sahara is waiting for him with a baseball bat. And the Eitz Sahara wants that all those dinim and bilbulim, which represent all kinds of different flavors of tumah, they want to hit him much harder now. They want to really clobber him because they see that this astronaut who just went all the way up there, if we let him keep doing this, who knows what he's going to do? Kimavura batoyonal, as Rabbeinu Zal explained over there in Likut Imran, v'oz tzrichin lehizgaber beyoiser levatlam, and then the person has to get ready to really fight them, to really destroy those klipos with Torah. Shemamshichim mehorishima, which he draws from that residue, from that film, from that remainder of that spiritual experience that he had. That little film that remains manifests, displays itself in the form of Torah that the person brings down with him. Shehu bechinas mayim kanal, and we know that that's represented by water. The Gemara always says that water represents Torah. This is the concept of washing our hands with water as soon as we wake up from sleep. Because then when the person's waking up, which means he's returning from that beetle, the person has to immediately draw upon himself the waters of Torah, in order to chase away and remove that tumma that's attaching itself to his body now that he's come back down. The ikar al hayodaim, and the main place that it attaches itself to is to the hands. The hainu koychois hadin vabilbulim ho'imdim v'orvim v'shoyrim al aguf b'shas habito. This refers to those powers of judgment and confusion which lie in waiting and rest on the body of the person during the time that he's in beetle. When the soul left him, just like when a person dies, the soul goes up and the body becomes super duper tame, avi avoy satuma. So too, when a person experiences this minimum death, this spiritual where the soul leaves to an extent, the body is taken over by tuma. Shetekev kishayachser hadas meabitul, the klipos, the forces of tuma, are attached themselves to his body, so that the moment the das comes back down, they're going to try to attach, to grab onto that das and draw energy from it. The forces of tuma are going to try to draw energy from it. V'alkein tzrichim lizoher legarshom tekev kshendem yashena. Therefore, the person has to do something immediately, as soon as he wakes up, to chase them away, to remove these forces of tuma. How? Al yedei hatahara b'mayim, by purifying himself with water. Shal yedei ze mamshichim tahara ukedusha mimeme hatoira. That's how he draws upon himself purity and holiness from the waters of Torah. shenimshachim mehorashimu shelabito, which he draws upon himself through that residue, through that remainder from that beetle, from that high experience, shemevatlim haisurim vadinim, which destroys the pain and the suffering, kisheshovim yabito, when the person returns from that beetle. The canal, as we discussed earlier. V'zehu b'chinas hischatshus ha-Torah shetzrichin lekabel b'kol yoyim v'yoyim. And this is tied into the renewal of Torah that a Jew has to perform every single day to be learning new Torah and or to be learning the Torah brand new as if it's the first time. Shehu hischatshus ha-moichin shenimshochin b'kol yoyim. That's this new brain that a person receives every single day as a result of that sleep, as a result of going there. The Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Chadoshim labekorim, brand new in the morning. And as the Medrash says, on the Pasuk in Chumash Dvorim, Asher anoichi metzavcho ayoyim, the Torah which I command you today, which I have commanded you today, Sheyu divrei Torah b'chol yoyim b'enecho k'chadoshim, that the words of Torah should be new, brand new in your eyes every single day. Nimtza, shebechol yoyim tzrichem laham shechel atzmoy kabol asat Torah nechodosh. Haynu kanal. So we see from this, therefore, that a Jew has to draw upon himself a brand new kabol asat Torah every single day. Every single day, the Jew is going through a new, receiving the Torah anew. Again, it says, asher anoichi metzavcho, the Torah which Hashem commanded, Mitzavcha is past tense, and then it says Hayom, today. That experience that the Jews received the Torah on Har Sinai 2,000 years ago, a Jew has to feel that, has to experience that every single day. A brand new Kabbalah Satoira. Hainu Kanal, as we mentioned earlier, Kalidei Hashena, because through sleep, Hu Bechinas Bitul, the person goes into this state called Bitul, and it's from there, from that super high place, that the person receives a new portion of Torah, which is what he's going to use to destroy the tumah and the din that's waiting for him downstairs when he gets back. Who want to fight him even stronger, even worse than before when he comes back. And a Jew who is zeicha to do this properly, to learn new things in Torah, not just learn new things, but to derive new revelations in Torah every day, like the great, great Talmid Chachamim who learned Gemara, Meforshim, and they study the Meforshim, and then they themselves are privileged to bring forth new ideas, new revelations in Torah, new lumdas in Torah that isn't even written down, that they're introducing into the world. Ashrei loy, fortunate to that person. How lucky is that person who is zeicha to these chidushei Torah. What about the rest of us? What about the other 98% of Klal Yisrael who are not on a level to introduce new concept, new revelations in Torah? However, even the rest of the world who are not on that level, not privileged to do that, to bring forth new chidushei Torah, to write svarim with new revelations in Torah, have to at least make sure to really fight very hard to study Torah in the morning when they wake up from their sleep. Kimavur bechol hasforim, as is mentioned in all the religious writings, lamoid bashmiris, that a good Jew gets up early in the morning before it's light, lasik batoira, in order to study Torah at that time, kedei lechabois al yedei zeh tzimoin hanefesh, in order to extinguish that incredible thirst that the soul has. The soul went upstairs, where the temperature is very high up there. It's 6 billion degrees. Fire, you know, spiritual fire up there. Now the soul is coming back. Rabbeinu Zal shows all of this all in Likutei Moharan. He explains this. The soul comes back thirsty, super thirsty. It needs water. Which water? The waters of Torah. Dahainu legarish kol hayisurim vadin vasitra achra, meaning to be able to chase away all the suffering and judgments and sitra achra, v'chol minei bilbulim, and all the different varieties of confusion, al yedei ha-toira shemekabla mehorishimu, through the Torah that the person receives now as a result of the imprint, the residue of that super spiritual experience that he had. V'yal kein, and therefore, be'emes, the truth is, afilu mi she'eino izlecha l'chadesh ba'toira mamish, even a person who is not privileged to bring forth new ideas, new revelations in Torah, tzorich al kol ponim lezgabre b'chol yoyim lasek b'Torah b'cheshek chodosh, v'chiyus chodosh. The person has to see to it that each and every single new day when he's studying Torah, he's not studying it like yesterday. He's not coming in. This is not his third day in yeshiva. This is not his 10th day. This is the first day. We're starting today. Today's the starting day. That excite, that is chachus. That it, Rav Nosson Zal shows here, as he does in many places in the Kutei Halachos, the Zohar HaKadosh says that one of the greatest things that a person could possibly do in life, and especially to benefit the souls of parents who have passed away, etc., is if a person is zeichet to chidushei Torah, if a person is zeichet to reach a level where they've learned so much, halacha, gemara, chumash, navi, chassidus, everything, that when they learn, they're able to come forth with new revelations, to reveal new chidushim in Torah. That's one of the greatest accomplishments that a Jew can do. But Rav Nosson Zal says, but then where does that leave all the rest of us? And he says that if a Jew makes sure that when he's learning, whatever he's learning, Chumash, Gemara, he learns it with a newness, with a brand newness, a freshness, that is also called Chidushei Torah. That's also called Chadash, new, brand new. And that will give that person on his level the same benefits as those tremendous great tzaddikim have when they're zeichet to come forth with Chidushei Torah. Ve'yir be'enov kachadosh mamish, that the Torah should be to him like brand new, like he's learning it for the first time. Right now, we're up to Parshas Vezos HaBrocha. We're about to make a siyum on the Torah. Simcha still, we're going to have Yom Kippur now, and Simcha Sukkah, Simcha Torah. They're going to finish the Torah, and they're going to start again from Bereishis. And there are some people in Shul who haven't learned this, and they're going to be, oh no, starting again. Again with Adam Rishon, Avra. Didn't we do this last year? You know, some of them do it to be cute, to be funny. They think it's, you know, and some are really serious because they can't imagine, like, why are we doing this again? Why, you know, if Hashem is so infinite, why don't you give us another book? You know, we read this, so we've been through this one like 25 times already. Those people don't know that when you're dealing with something spiritual, every year it can be a totally new experience. You can see, even people on our level, can see new things that you didn't see before if you believe in Hashem, if you believe in the tzaddikim, if you believe in the Torah, if you believe Hashem is infinite, the Torah is infinite, then the Torah of the year 2011 is not the Torah of the year 2010. The Torah of Tavshinayim Beis is a brand new Torah. It's got whole brand new things to teach us that we need to know now. Because again, last year's computers, we have a whole new scenario that each one of us is facing new world every day, so that there's got to be a new Torah for it. And that new Torah is in Bereishis Bara Elokim, and that's those words, which are infinite. Ki zehu gam kein b'chinas hischachus ha-Torah. Because this is also called newness in the Torah. Kimavur b'makam achar, as is explained in other places in our teachings. Hainu kanal. This goes back to what we discussed earlier. V'zehu kol b'chinas tzitzis u'tfilin u'kriyashma v'tfila. And Rav Nosson Zal says, this is what it's all about, the whole procedure that we do in the morning after we wash negel vasa. We put on tzitzis and then tfilin and kriyashma and tfila. And he quoted earlier the Gemara. The Gemara says that any Jew who does all of these four things is a ben olam haba. Rav Nosson Zal says, you know why? Shekulam hein b'chinas hischachu samoichim. All of these, putting on a talis in the morning, putting on tefillin. If you look in the Zohar called Shnei Arizal, they show how each one of these represents is a manner by which the person receives the new brains that they need for that day, the new moichin, the new seichel for that day, shenimshochim al kol echad miYisrael b'chol yoyim, which come onto each and every single Jew, each and every single day. Every single day a person receives a new shipment, FedEx, from upstairs of new moichin, if he's following these procedures. Shekolze nimshach mebechinas hazrichu v'harishimu shel habitul al atachlis. All of this is the result of the residue, that film that remains after the person had that nuclear experience, that out-of-body experience, and he went all the way upstairs, Nolan, and he had that, when it's finished, when it's over, and the light has left, from the little bit that remains, that residue, that's what gives the new hashpo of moichin that the person needs for the new day, which comes to him in different stages. When he washes Megavasa, when he puts on the talis, the tefillin, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal, and as we're going to see throughout the Likutei Halachos. Rav Nosson Zal goes over this many times in tremendous detail, showing how all of this works and the different stages, and what happens when you put on the tzitzis, and then what happens further when you put on the tefillin, etc., etc.